for the morning to you, Cisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning. No, I'm serious.
When I think of my life, I think about all Jesus, can somebody let me know if I have audio on the blog talk? Thank you. Well, okay, some people switched over to Spreaker. Okay, look, I got to tell you something. It is important. It is very, very important that you understand that you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that you ministering, that I'm ministering. I don't know about you. I hope you are too, if you're a minister. Ministering from heaven down, instead of from the earth up, okay? Because when you minister from heaven down, then you're right ministering directly from the throne room to the earth. And that's the way it should be. I want to read to you, and I don't know if the person who sent me this email is on this line this morning. I cannot know. But if you are, and if you can put your last four in Spreaker, this is from God's Ruthless Remnant 1. That's your email address. That's your email address. And I'm not going to use your name until you give me permission to use your name. But this is the email, brothers and sisters. And I got about 60 emails yesterday. It was 68 to be exact. But this one stuck with me. My name is blank, and I've been following the Ted Line Fight Club with you every day for a couple of years. I'm a second shift listener. It has transformed my spiritual life and now many around me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your obedience to the Lord and knowledge. I feel like you are family, and I've never met you, LOL. I'm still seeing the fruit from the 40-day fast where we sent the letters to you and you sent them back to us. I had the salvation of my siblings on my list, among other things. Since then, one brother of mine who wasn't talking to the family for years came back to Jesus and our family. Whoa, praise Jesus. I also see the beginnings of a couple of other siblings making their way back. I have a deliverance journal that I write down everything I learned from you and other sources to study and hopefully put in practice when called. As I was writing down all the strongholds you were calling out, when you got the spirits on the shoulders, neck, back of my head, back of the head, my whole body tightened up and my head was like ripped back. The spirit was groaning, yelling while coming out. It almost hurt. I felt a burning pain in my neck, shoulders, back of the head, and back. Then it left. It was gone. I then was overwhelmed by a feeling of lightness, airy, weightless, and relief from something I didn't even know was there. All I could do was cry, happy cry, and thank him. It was such an overwhelming feeling of love and freedom, all I could do was cry again. I have never experienced a feeling like this before. I had been experiencing severe pain in my neck, shoulders, and back for a couple days. But I just thought it was from carrying my one-year-old around. Now I know it was a spirit, and I am so grateful Jesus used you to expose it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, Father God, and God's own Holy Spirit. I hope to meet you one day. God bless you, Dr. Eric. Love in Jesus. And then it's signed by the name of that person. Here's another one. Dr. Erica, this is an email just to say thank you. The truth is, I was a hypocrite. All this time, you've been telling on the TED line about these spirits. And I have been listening to you with my mind. And then you always saying, don't listen to your mind. So, something, remember that's the Holy Spirit's other name, something, told me to try listening with my heart yesterday. A lump of something came out of me. Looked like I had to weigh it. It weighed about 3.5, she said, ounces. It was bloody, and it came out. Since then, I felt my stomach. I felt all around my stomach where it came out. I didn't even know it was there, but it came out. And I'm sending you a picture of it. Here it is. I looked at the picture. I don't have a clue. Don't want to know. Don't care, really. It's out like it's supposed to be. So anyway, she said, I will never listen with my head again. God, like you say, made a believer out of me yesterday. Thank you. I love you. My whole family looked at the bloody clump, and we still amazed. Thank you again. This thing could have killed me. I don't know what it is, but it came out of me. And it scared me. It scared me. I went and grabbed my Bible after I retrieved it and was showing it to everybody. Oh, boy. Now I know for myself, like Job said, that my Redeemer lives. Thank you for being the washerwoman, like you call yourself. Thank you, Sister Erica. Love. And she sent a big heart. And she sent an offering too. Brothers and sisters, some of you, based on your own experience, you really don't believe God is real. Now, God is making believers out of people. And I got others, but I don't have time to read them. Not this morning, anyway. I'm going to put them on the website. I say God himself is making believers out of people. I think it was another one. I don't know where that one is. It said, God has restored my marriage. My husband and I had not had sexual intimacy for 9 years. God restored our marriage, and I felt like a virgin all over again. We are so happy. Thank you, Sister Erica. No, thank you, Jesus, sister. You see, I guess I need to say this. You don't need a man or a woman. You don't need me to confirm anything that God has promised you he would do. Sometimes people become angry with me. You know why they become angry? Because I say, go to God. I say, what does God say? I say, what did God say? I said, do you ask God? These are the things I ask people all the time when they come to me and want me to pray with them. Well, I should be your second resort after you've already gone to God, because you don't need a man or a woman to validate anything that God has told you. Now, it's good to have one or two or three witnesses, but sometimes God has to bring you one or two or three witnesses to confirm not himself to you, but for you to have the confidence that it's him, or you to have the confidence like Peter to step out on that boat. And some things aren't even going to seem like, you know, with God, sometimes we're waiting for logic and we forget about Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Even, that's why I was trying to play that song in the middle of it. I'm going to play it, or one better. God, I had a message yesterday. I didn't give it. I think I talked around it. But because it's still relevant though. It was titled The Lord Hath Need of Them. Okay, and it was short. It was more like a Palm Sunday kind of message, because I still have whatever you want to call it. It was titled yesterday, this from yesterday, The Lord Hath Need of Them. I never got there. And it was coming from Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 3. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. You see that? Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. Matthew 21, 1 through 3. God gave those disciples, this was that I had from yesterday, specific instructions that were going to bring specific results. The results were already directed by God. If the specific instructions were followed. So you see, Jesus say, I do nothing except what I see my Father do. And then it says that Jesus said, I am in my Father is in me, and I and my Father are in you. So God directed it. Jesus spoke to these disciples under divine direction from God. He said, go into the village opposite you. Because when I looked at it, they were opposite where they were. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered, tied up, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply. This is another translation. The master has need of them. Yesterday, in the church world, it was Palm Sunday. And it began with the gospel account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The crowds were, stirred up. The entire city and the stage had been set by God for Jesus' passion and his death to come just days later. But right prior to that, Jesus had overturned the tables in the temple. Jesus had spoke to a barren fig tree. Jesus had silenced the Pharisees. And Jesus had foretold of not only his crucifixion, but the destruction of Jerusalem and the final coming when he's going to judge the world. Seated on his glorious throne. However, I want you to look at something here. In order that all these things can be fulfilled, the Bible shows us that first, Jesus humbles himself. Jesus, the Son of God, made manifest in the flesh. He makes himself have need of what? A donkey. A donkey. You see, the whole Bible, brothers and sisters, is based upon the incarnation. The incarnation. What's the incarnation? God becomes a man and makes himself dependent on his own creation. Woo! God becomes man. And God makes himself dependent on his own creation. In his human nature, Jesus needed a mother. Jesus needed a father. Jesus needed food, water, and friends. And when Jesus establishes his church to carry out his work on this earth realm, the Lord God of heaven and earth chooses or made a choice to use the ordinary stuff of this world. Oil, water, and words. But the most incredible thing of all, God, creator of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be, God, our creator, sovereign Lord, he made it so, and he makes it so, that he has need of us. I don't know if you can comprehend this. I don't know if you are comprehending it. God made it so that he, God, in the person of his son Jesus, by the power of his own Holy Spirit, has need of you and I to carry out the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in real time. We are the mission played out in millions of lives, small extensions and demonstration on earth of God. Jesus lives and moves in us. Jesus continues his work on this earth, in heaven and under the earth, through our hands, our hearts. Jesus heals. Jesus teaches. Jesus guides. Jesus reveals. Jesus feeds. Jesus prays. Jesus admonishes all. And Jesus loves in, through, and by us. I said, Jesus loves in, through, and by you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has no body now on earth but ours. He has no hand, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes. Hallelujah. To which he took and looks and sees and ministers compassion on this world. Ours are the feet with which he uses to walk and to do good upon this earth. Ours are the hands to which he blesses all the world. Ours are the hands. Yours are the hands. Ours are the feet. Yours are the feet. Ours are the eyes. Brothers and sisters, it is about time you get this, and you get this right. You and I are Jesus' body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Spirit-filled believer, this is the meaning of our baptism. This is the meaning of our becoming one with him. He calls us forth, hallelujah, from the tomb, not just to save us, but so that we, hallelujah, can be utilized and can take possession, hallelujah, of this saving power, so that we can be used to draw all things back to him. However astonishing this might be to you, however shocking, however bewildering this might be to you, it's also the truth. You see, God made a choice to need us. Our Father God can enter the world any way he wants to, but he chooses to do it through us. Yes, you and I are bearers of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And especially at this time, God needs you to open wide your arms. God needs you to welcome all who come to him by way of you. God needs you to comfort them with the same comfort that he has comforted you with, because they are anxious right now for a helpful and a reassuring word ministered through love in this atmosphere we're in right now, which happens to be an atmosphere of discomfort. Brothers and sisters, God, by way of his own Holy Spirit, is still writing a living gospel. This is why God has given you gifts. And this is why you have been signed, sealed, and delivered, hallelujah, right to the world's opening. Because God has given to this world, to you, gifts to be given away. Gifts to be given away. It's all too easy to forget sometimes that all we have to give is given to us by God to give. Do you hear me? Some of you back up and squirm from this. Some of you are so misled that this idea that you have anything to offer, you can't see it because your hearts have been wounded. You've been told to be quiet. You've been led to be afraid. Some of you have been led to believe that good humility means shame, and that you are incapable or unworthy of this passion that God has created within you of healing and redeeming. But I want to tell you what the Bible says this morning. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. His own Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Bible says the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. It says, but you know him. It says, but you know him, for he lives within you, for he lives with you and will be in you. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Brothers and sisters, you call to believe. You call to believe that God has in fact equipped you and that God has in fact prepared you for great things for his kingdom. That doesn't mean that we're not humble. It means that we have begun to understand what it means to die to ourselves. It means that we have come into the knowledge and believe, and what we have believed, we've taken deeply to our heart. This truth right here. Can somebody post Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? At least seven of you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I need you to post this. The desire within you to do whatever God has placed in you. It is sometimes harder to do small things with great love than to do great things. The kingdom of God has been planted in you by God. It is undeniably, irrevocably part of his purpose for your life. You can try to push it away. You can try to cover up your ears, but it comes back again and again. And it will continue to come back until you comply with the fact, until you understand this. The Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. The Lord, Almighty God, has need of you. The whole world is hurting right now, as it hasn't hurt in a long time. The whole world is gasping for breath in fear and loneliness. It is within them being exposed, buried aches, pain, surfacing as distractions drain away. The question today is, who and will you carry Christ? Will you carry Christ into these streets and even empty your heart? There's a mission of redemption mounting. Will you allow him to meet you at the gates of your town, the gates of your city, the gates of your neighborhood? Will you allow him to meet you, and will you make yourself totally available to carry him into this world situation, into this world people, in a way that only you can? I said, in a way that only you can. Each person, each man, each woman confessing Christ today has alive within them an active mission of God, a personal job, coupled with a personal idea of God and what you are required to do in history to increase the structure, build upon a living holy temple of his presence. You living out your calling is your own personal shape of holiness. But you see, brothers and sisters, it has to come to a point in your life where your calling, your holiness, and your blessedness is no longer an idea. Where it becomes a lived out, real time, real experience of the Lord fulfilling this need, this purpose, his purpose in your life. That his will be done through the material of his own saints of God, realizing that the stuff you are made of, is of God himself. Right now, today, the world has need of God. Right now, today, the world has need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that need has already been fulfilled because the Lord Jesus had need of you to bring people to him. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do nothing else but bring them to Christ. And he, through a manifestation of himself in you, will bring them to our Father. It's all about him. And it's all about his need for you to bring them to him. Brothers and sisters, that was my message from yesterday. Are you going to answer this call? Are you? Can you see it like that? Can you receive it like that? God delivered some of you. God tore down those strongholds in some of you that allowed him to yesterday, so you could receive this message today.
Any man says he has no sin in him, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, it seems impossible that sinful man could have a relationship with the Holy God. But you see, that's where Jesus comes in, and that's why today I love him so much. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why today I want to lift my voice and say, oh!